Live from the In the Room studios located in the Net Carrier and Cloud, this is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Some word here, and I'm about to again post it on Twitter. Well, the Twitter world, of course, is abuzz over the celebrity nude scandal. It looks like ISIS has released a video showing the beheading of U.S. journalist Stephen Sotloff. Again, you know, while Kerry vacations, Americans get beheaded. You know, I'm getting tired of the vacation administration. I really am. I think we've had enough of the constant vacations, the constant lack of anything from this administration. It's absolutely absurd what we're dealing with in terms of leadership in this country. It's deplorable. Any other nation, their leaders would be on this. And it's time to start attacking, and it's time to start doing what we have to do. It's very sad. I'm disturbed right now because we just got this information as we're coming on the air. And I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of Americans getting beheaded. They're making fools of us. They're making fools of us, the most powerful nation in the world. The most powerful nation in the world, and we're being made fools of by cavemen. And I've had it. I'm fed up with this administration. I am fed up with their lack of a clue. They have no clue what's going on. Yesterday I see pictures of Kerry out there fishing, nice and comfortable. And I'm thinking, meanwhile, Christians are getting beheaded over in Iraq, and you're comfortable. You're having a good time. You're fishing. You're vacationing. You're taking a break from what? Your constant break? It's ridiculous, and it's absurd. You have Captain Caveman and his crew over there making us look like idiots. And we bombed Somalia today. Okay, yeah, there is a threat in Somalia. I understand. But ISIS is running roughshod in Iraq, and we're doing nothing. You know why we're doing nothing? Because he doesn't have a strategy yet, which, of course, is what you want to hear from your leader in a time of crisis. In a time of crisis, you know, interestingly enough, when Michael Brown got shot in Ferguson, Missouri, he had a strategy for that. He had four representatives of his administration go to that funeral of a kid who, God bless him, rest in peace, but for a kid who by all accounts was a gangbanger, by all accounts was acting like a gangbanger when he got himself shot. And time again, this president errs on the side of what is politically expedient. Another war is not politically expedient. I understand that. I'm not a foolish man. Of course I understand. Nobody wants another war. I don't want another war. But we have to do something about what's going on in Iraq. We have to do something about what's going on with ISIS. And frankly, I've had enough. I've had enough. There comes a point where the incompetence level is so great that something has to be done. And right now is that time. Right now is that time. Not later. Now. Again and again, we're being schooled by people, like I said, and I'll say it again, cavemen. Cavemen. Another American beheaded today. Another. It's a damn shame. A damn shame, ladies and gentlemen. And we have a leader. We have the wrong leader at the wrong time. I'm very sad. And it's hard for me to focus, you know, when it's like this. Because you're always thinking to yourself, you know, well, man, one of these times this president has to get it right. One of these times he has to get it right. But continuously he gets it wrong again. I still see the support for him among the liberals is pretty strong as I read things online. You know, you could say what you want about your George Bush, and I said plenty. He made his mistakes. But you knew where you stood. You knew you had a president who, when things happened, when it came down to it, when you had to have leadership, when you had to have a strong leader in the right situation, you understood that George Bush, President George Bush, understood the consequences. He understood the consequences of inaction. He understood the consequences of not rising to the occasion. And word is breaking here that President Obama was briefed on ISIS more than a year ago, a terror group that he called JV. JV. They don't seem so JV right now, do they? No, they don't seem so JV right now. They seem like a threat worse than al-Qaeda, a vicious, evil, disgusting growth. And it's beyond repugnant at this point. you know, I think what will happen, and this is my, you know, I'm not a political scientist, but this is my guess. What will happen is the president will have some high-level meetings, and they'll issue a stern warning. And ISIS will laugh at us like they've been doing, and the world will continue to laugh at us because of our failure of a president, our failure of leadership, and it starts with the president, John Kerry, and I'm calling out Congress too. Your vacation is over. Get back to work. When Americans are being killed, your vacation is over. You talk about a crumbling economy every day. You hear about the economy in crisis, the economy in crisis. Well, most Americans can't take this many vacations in a year. We're all struggling to make ends meet in this country. And yet we have Americans being killed, and the men and women that are supposed to be doing their job to ensure the safety of these men and women are on vacation. And there's no more excuses. There's no excuses for any of them. I'm not making excuses for the Republican Congress. I'm not making excuses for the president by any stretch of the imagination. I'm not making excuses for Swift Boat Kerry. This problem should have been nipped in the bud when they were a JV team, Mr. President. You waited for them to get varsity, did you? They're committing and conducting a crusade against Christians. They are conducting a crusade against Americans. You don't think a terrorist attack is coming, ladies and gentlemen? I've said it every day on this program. Before Thanksgiving, there will be a terrorist attack on U.S. soil because we've done nothing to prevent it. We have done nothing to show that we're serious about fighting terror, ladies and gentlemen. Nothing. We actually have a president right now, and I never thought I'd see it. I never thought I'd see it, ladies and gentlemen. We have a president right now who makes Jimmy Carter look like a badass. And that's the truth. That's the truth. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I'm flabbergasted. This news, I had other things to talk about today. And I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed. I'm one of the proudest Americans you'll ever meet. And and I still am proud of my country. You know, I love my country very much. I had other things to talk about today, but sometimes the news makes you report what it has. You know, sometimes the news actually puts the news dictates to you what you're going to talk about, and this is one of those days. And I'm it's a sad day. Another American beheaded. What do you think the family of James Foley thought watching John Kerry fish? I wonder if James Foley liked to fish. I wonder if he liked to go out with his family and his loved ones on Labor Day weekend and fish. I wonder if Stephen Sotloff liked to fish. Maybe he would have wanted to go fishing with John Kerry. What do you think? Maybe. Maybe. But instead, they were failed by an inept, incompetent administration. Oh, we don't negotiate with terrorists. That's why we couldn't get James Foley home. That's what we were told. That's what we were told. But I seem to recall some negotiating with terrorists a few months ago to bring that traitor home. To bring that traitor home, we sent five terrorists to ISIS, back to Al-Qaeda. back to the terror organizations from whence they came. You know, the president again and again treats what's going on as some kind of police action. Like it's a police action. It was the same failure that brought us to 9/11, the same failure of the Clinton administration to deal with terrorism as a war that brought us to 9/11. Well, President Bush got it right. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. President Bush had the war on terror right. He got it right. He faced the tough questions and he got them right. Was he perfect? No. Did he make mistakes? Yes. But he stood in the face of evil and saw evil for what it was, for what it is. We have a president now, president negotiator. He wants to negotiate. You can't negotiate with animals. Would you negotiate with wolves? Would you negotiate with bears? They're animals. These aren't human beings. People that do what they do are not human beings. They're evil, vile, disgusting animals. But we'll have a meeting. We'll send a strong signal of what? Of your weakness. You have again and again failed this nation. Again and again failed this nation. Mr. President, your dereliction of duty, your incompetence, your failure at this job is dangerous. This isn't a job at the Gap. Your failure is dangerous to this country. Again and again, you failed all the tough questions. You know, the thing is, for president, community organizer, the thing is that somewhere along the line, I guess somebody told him that you could be president and just do some on-the-job training. Doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way, Mr. President. This is not an on-the-job training job. If I failed at my job, like you fail at your job, I'd be off the air. I mean, it's actually astounding. It's actually astounding. If a kid at McDonald's failed their job as much as you fail your job, they'd be fired. They wouldn't be fit. They wouldn't be fit to be fry cook. But again and again. Again and again, you fail. It's a scary thought. It's a scary thought to have a president so far removed from reality, believing in this utopian world that he's created in his mind. Listen, we all want that utopia, Mr. President. I think we all want a world where everybody lives in peace and harmony, where everybody gets along and loves one another, and there is no war and there is no fighting. That's not this world. It's not. And you've got to get it straight, because we got two more years of being stuck with you. Two more years of being stuck with you. A lot can happen in that time. A lot can happen in that time. The dollar can collapse, probably will. Often I see when things like this happen, you know, we seem to be approaching the start of World War III. But, you know, Mr. President, I don't worry about World War III with you. I don't. Because I know you don't have the gonads to see it through. You cannot stand up. Russia walks on you. Mexico is walking on you, for God's sake. a bunch of ragtag, cave-dwelling, ridiculous Neanderthals walk on you and laugh in your face. You're weak and the world sees it. And the problem is in peacetime, that's okay. But in a time of war, Mr. President, your weakness is detrimental to the nation at large. That's what scares me. Your weakness is detrimental to the nation at large. You see, weakness is easily seen by those who are warlike. A lot to talk about today, and I got distracted. Listen, this is what's important, guys. We had other stuff to talk about, but I'm talking about what's important. Now, I'm being asked to talk about some other things, but unlike the president, I understand that we're a nation at war with forces of evil. And there is other stuff going on. First of all, I mean, you know, it's never been tougher to be a reporter. Never been tougher to be a reporter. And to go overseas in war-torn countries has been bad before, but these people are animals. These are people that don't have any concern for their life, for the lives of their families. They damn sure don't care about us. But ladies and gentlemen, I've warned you again and again. I've told you again and again before Thanksgiving in this country, right here on American soil, there will be an attack. I feel it. I saw the tweets. They're here. They're in our cities. How long do you think they're going to wait? Mr. President, they're not bluffing. I don't know if you could tell by the rolling heads. They're not bluffing. They're extremely serious. And they're killing people every day. And it's scary. Lois Lerner, good old Lois. Let's get on to that topic. So, in 2007, Lerner responded directly to a complaint that some major labor unions reported completely different amounts of political expenditures when filing with the IRS and Department of Labor. At the time of the email, Lerner was director of exempt organizations at the IRS. Lerner wrote, "We looked at the information you provided regarding organizations that report substantial amounts of political activity and lobbying expenditures on the DOL forum LM-2, but report little to no political expenditures on the form 990 filed with the IRS. We believe this difference in reporting does not necessarily indicate that the organization has incorrectly reported to either the DOL or the IRS," Lerner concluded. You see, different rules for conservatives than there are for the criminal left. Different rules for Lois Lerner. Actually, her missing emails. Has anybody found the missing emails? Maybe we should hire the hacker who got the naked pictures of all the celebrities. Maybe he could find the Lois Lerner's lost emails. But please, dear God, don't let him find naked pictures of Lois Lerner. And if he did, you have to just pray that he'd be kind enough to keep them to himself. I'm sorry, and I know the IRS thing is a big thing. But our president's ignoring it anyway, so why should I talk about it? I'm more concerned with Americans being beheaded at least twice a week. Of course, I'm exaggerating. That's not what's happening. But there are beheadings, multiple beheadings every week. And to what end do we start to see that it's going to continue? Well, we attacked Somalia today, but ISIS isn't there. And while I agree that Al-Shabaab obviously is a threat, what they're not is ISIS. And ISIS is the immediate threat. I just don't understand. I don't understand how many miscalculations and mistakes one man can make. It baffles me. And I would never say I'm not fit to be president. You know, of course, I couldn't make these tough decisions. I know that. That's why I'm not president. Mr. President, you should have known that you weren't capable of making these tough decisions. And your advisors are horrible. If this is what you're being advised, see, everything, you get to understand, ladies and gentlemen, everything the president does, you know, I'm giving him an out saying he's incompetent. He's not incompetent. He's not. He's a smart man. I'm actually giving him an excuse that I shouldn't give him. It's not that he's incompetent. It's that he only cares about what benefits him politically. Believe me, he'll attack ISIS if the polls say that the people want him to attack ISIS. Because it's all about the polls, really. He won't have ground troops go into Iraq unless the polls say people want ground troops in Iraq. And again, you say what you want about George W. Bush. President Bush, he didn't care about the polls. He didn't care what the American people wanted. And people can say, well, that's a bad thing. He's the president. He's supposed to care what the people want. The voice of the people. Well, the voice of the people is 300 million people all screaming for different things. Your job as a leader, yes, is to represent us, but it's also to make the tough decisions. You can't, you're going to go by polls of what the people want you to do. The people don't have the information at their fingertips that you do, and even if they did, probably couldn't comprehend it. No, you're the president of the United States. You're the most powerful man in the Western Hemisphere. You are the leader of the free world. You were elected to make the tough decisions. And hopefully make a couple of them correctly. And that hasn't been happening. You just make a couple of the decisions properly and correctly. That's all we really ask. You don't have to get them all right. Get some of them right. Get the important ones right. Get the important ones right. Get the life-saving ones right. Because that's what we're really trying to do. We're trying to save some lives here, Mr. President. And I know my frustration is evident. I have no co-host here today, ladies and gentlemen, to rein me in or kind of hold the reins for me here. And so you're getting the full angry, bald dude treatment today. This is what it's all about. This is what I talk about every day. The direction our country's headed, a scary, scary, scary direction towards what? Destruction? Annihilation? The breakdown of the American way of life. Osama bin Laden once called the United States a paper tiger. Paper tiger, of course, meaning looks fierce, is harmless. And he wasn't right then, but he's right now. what the world is saying about us, America doesn't have the resolve. It doesn't have the will, ladies and gentlemen, to defend itself anymore. It doesn't have the will. It doesn't have the fire anymore. And it scares me. It scares me for our children. I wonder what this country is going to become. A young gangbanger gets shot in Ferguson, Missouri, and the people take to the streets. They march. They protest. They go wild. They know no facts. Nothing. They know nothing. Oblivious to reality. Oblivious to what happens to the world. Because it doesn't matter much to them, really, if he was guilty or not. Because what they're marching about is not Michael Brown at all. I mean, yes, some people are marching about him, but they're marching about a concept, a concept of oppression, a concept of being held back, held down by the man. A ridiculous notion in 2014 of white privilege. Ridiculous. But if you believe something strong enough, you'll march in it. You'll march. You'll take to the streets. No matter how ludicrous your ideas are, and some of them couldn't care less about who Michael Brown is, who has white privilege, or racial divides, or oppression, or anything of that nature. They want a free TV and some sneakers. But they'll take to the streets. They'll burn down buildings. They'll demand justice. They spent all their gasoline now. They're out of fumes, and they all went back to their normal mundane lives. The first of the month came, and the checks came in, and they stopped protesting because I guess they didn't need to loot anymore. I don't know. But the point is, when you have Americans and Christians being beheaded overseas, who's taking to the streets for that? Where is the outrage? Where is the Christian reverends like Jesse Jackson, reverends like Al Sharpton, good Christian men? They just want peace, you know. Good Christian reverends. Where are the marches on Washington that they're leading today to save the Christians? What nation are we where polls indicate that we blame our good friends, Israel, our good Jewish friends, our only real ally in the Middle East? When more Americans blame the Jews for the battle with Hamas than blame the terrorists themselves, what nation are we, ladies and gentlemen? I ask you today, what nation are we that sides with terrorists, sides with Hamas, our people, citizens in our country, ladies and gentlemen? The majority of them, not you and I. You're listening to the Angry Bald Dude. Chances are you're a supporter of Israel or you're a troll. And I'm going to guess most of you supporting are not trolls but fans, and you're listening because you understand that I get it, and I understand that you get it. And we together, those of us who get it, we together, ladies and gentlemen, have a right, have an obligation, have a duty, and have a mission to take this country back from the hands of the liberals, the communists, socialists, the appeasers, ladies and gentlemen, the weak, the wishy-washy, flim-flam liberals, the 1960s, 1970s hippie liberals. They had a song, and the song said, "All we are saying is give peace a chance." A beautiful ideal, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not against that. Let's give peace a chance. Well, we gave peace a chance, and now all we are saying is sit down, shut up, and let us handle this now. You have failed. Your give peace a chance strategy has failed. You are an abysmal failure. We have given you liberals every opportunity to give peace a chance, to sing kumbaya, to bring in whoever you wanted to bring in and dance and sing and all the stuff you want to do and bring Iraq and bring Iran to the table. Let's negotiate. Hey, let's negotiate with ISIS too. Why not? I mean, what harm could come from that? We've given peace a chance, ladies and gentlemen. We've given peace a chance, and we have two dead, beheaded Americans killed on video. Killed on video. For the world to see. And we have done nothing, ladies and gentlemen, to prevent it. And this news is still breaking. Obviously, I had other stuff to talk about today. I did want to talk about the attack on Somalia, the Al-Shabaab attack on Somalia. This is the man who actually was behind the 2013 shopping mall siege in Nairobi, Kenya. They are supporters of Al-Qaeda, although I don't believe that they are in Al-Qaeda. I don't know if Al-Qaeda has accepted them. But it looks like the leader of Al-Shabaab, Ahmed Abdi Godane, it looks like he's been killed. We don't have confirmation of that yet. The strike went down near the city of Barawe. CNN reports that it jolted the entire region. You know, they said it was a huge and deafening blast. Apparently via drone, it looks like, which in this case would be a good thing. We all remember Black Hawk Down. I don't think we want any rerun of that. But U.S. officials say we had an opportunity that we had been looking for. It presented itself. We can't confirm how many leaders were killed in the attack. We will confirm later. Now, this is before the beheading. But goes on to say, CNN terrorism analyst Paul Cruikshank said Tuesday that Ahmed Godane is a very ruthless figure in the group. He dominates the group. You could see a kind of leadership struggle emerge if indeed he was killed. And that's the thing. I mean, you can kill these guys, but they don't go away. They don't go away. But hey, listen, I'm going to give the president credit for that. You know, we have to show some muscle, right? But this approach won't work with ISIS. We need troops on the ground, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry. That might not seem like what people want to hear. But it doesn't really matter what people want to hear, or even what people want. So we wait. So we wait, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't know when the answer comes down. What are we going to do? The State Department press is briefing people right now on what's going on over in Iraq. I don't watch these videos. I think Some people probably do, and they say you should. You should see them to know what's really going on, but I can't. It's not something I want to see. It's very scary to me. It's very scary to me that this still goes on. It's just crazy right now. It's a very scary time in America. I worry a lot about what nation we're leaving for our children, you know? A very weak nation. I guess I should announce this. It'll be trending later. But I don't really care. Justin Bieber has been arrested for dangerous driving and assault. And apparently he's facing more charges. Let's take a look. This is just coming over the news desk right now. And let's see. Apparently he got arrested during Labor Day weekend vacationing in Canada with girlfriend involved in the social media outing of naked pictures, Selena Gomez. Apparently, the driver of the ATV and an occupant of the minivan engaged in a physical altercation. I don't know. Man, I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what this kid's doing. You got the world in your hands. You got the world at your feet. You have everything you could possibly want, you moron. Why do you keep getting into trouble? Listen, you're a mega millionaire. You cannot get into fights, you idiot. You can't. Because everybody wants you. Listen, you're a small kid. Everybody wants to take a punch from you. I'll take a punch from you right now. And then I will sue. And I'll become rich. I mean, why? It just seems like you should know you're being set up, doesn't it? Doesn't it seem like you should have an idea that people are gunning for you? Anyway, I have to report that, so. Because if you're listening to this and you're not watching, you know, the other news, you know, then you're not going to know these things. And these are important things. I mean, you want to know about Justin Bieber. Apparently, President Obama does want to catch the guy who released the Kate Upton nudes. So maybe that's what he's distracted with in regards to ISIS. Maybe that's the reason. This is one of my Twitter followers, just Alan, at Alan Protech. Thank you. Maybe that's the reason he has no time for ISIS. Maybe that's it. I mean, listen, I wanted to catch the Kate Upton nudes. I don't care who released them. Listen, it was a horrible thing that happened, but I've heard on the news the past day or two, a lot of men saying, I refuse to look at those pictures. It was horrible what happened to those women. It was horrible what happened to those women. But I mean, I'm not going to BS people, and I think a lot of reporters out there are. If you're a heterosexual male and you have found that there are naked pictures of Kate Upton that you can easily and readily get your hands on, and maybe it's just me, I find it incredibly hard to believe that you have not procured said pictures and at least taken a glance. I find that extremely hard to believe. I find that to be unbelievable. I'm sure there are people that have not done it and have made a real conscious effort not to do it. And the same with Jennifer Lawrence. These are two incredibly attractive women. These are two beautiful women. I can't foresee a situation where I would say, nah, I don't want to see him naked. And maybe that makes me a bad person. It probably does. I think it probably does. But, look, I mean, it is what it is. You know, like my co-host Ray Vogas said yesterday, you blame the hacker for what he did, and you even blame those of us who have looked at the pictures and what have you, and the videos, and you say, hey, you probably shouldn't have done that. But you have to blame people who take a naked video or a picture of themselves, which is fine. It's something between you and your husband, you and your boyfriend. That's fine. It's cool. I'm good with that. But why? Why would you upload it to any cloud anywhere? I can't understand a circumstance where you would think to yourself, you know what's a good idea? Let's get this on the cloud to save it for posterity. I can't foresee that situation occurring. I can't see it. It boggles the mind, ladies and gentlemen. And again, as a red-blooded American, as a male, I'm not adverse to looking at said pictures, but, you know, I do wish that they were never released. And if you are going to release naked pictures, and you don't get any of Katy Perry, I have to ask, you know, what were you thinking? Were there none available? What were you thinking? No, I kid, of course. I definitely think it was wrong what happened. But, ladies and gentlemen, it goes back to what I said about Michael Brown and Ferguson, what I said about Eric Garner, both of them rest in peace. It goes back to the harassment certain people feel by the cops. There are ways around these things, and that is simple. Don't commit crimes. And in the case of these people, they didn't commit a crime. They just took some pictures. Okay. But it goes back even further to what I said about people who commit the crimes and then have problems with the cops. Personal responsibility. You have to have personal responsibility for the decisions you make, for the things you do in life. So when you hear so-and-so did this or that, and the people get outraged and want to take to the streets, ask yourself, what caused the situation? Was there something where you could have mitigated damages by taking personal responsibility for what occurred? Because anytime the answer to that is yes, then you only have yourself to blame. So that's what I think it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. I think everything boils down to personal responsibility. And Michael Brown, you know, if you don't want to have a situation with cops, don't rob a store. Don't punch a police officer. Personal responsibility. Eric Garner, very sad what happened to him. Why did you resist the cops? Personal responsibility. Because, see, I have a couple of strategies here. If the cops are violating your rights, which happens, well, then you let them do what they have to do, and you take them to court later. There are legal remedies for your rights being violated. But what you don't do, see, and again, if you're resisting, pushing the cops, running away, chances are the reason you're doing that is not to protect your constitutional rights. It's because you've done something illegal. And so, you know, what are the chances that Eric Garner, who has a rap sheet a mile long, was hanging out with other guys with rap sheets miles long, was doing nothing but, what, playing checkers that day? I'd say the odds are very slim. So what I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, is that if you don't commit crimes, your interactions with the police will be far less. Now, listen, that does not mean that a crazy cop can't shoot you for no reason. It doesn't mean that you couldn't get picked on by a cop even though you've done nothing wrong. I'm not claiming any of that. I'm not saying any of that can't happen. What I'm saying is, by not committing crimes, you mitigate your circumstances. You lessen the likelihood that there will be involvement with the police. You lessen that likelihood. And so it's important to start taking, drum roll, personal responsibility. And the same can be said even about the president. You know, I don't know who's going to emerge as the Democratic nominee. I strongly suspect it will be Secretary and former Senator Hillary Clinton that will emerge as the front runner. And I don't know who's going to emerge in the Republicans either. I have some people in mind that I would vote for. But, you know, at a certain point, the people that are likely to get nominated will continue the same path that we're on now, a destructive path, a path of weakness, reducing the military size and making us less of a world power. For whatever reason, that seems to be the goal. I don't know why. It doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, but it does seem to be the goal. To, instead of uplifting other nations to be where America is, to lower America to where other nations are. It's an interesting way of going about parity. It's an interesting way of going about parity because I don't think the other nations are looking to see America get weakened. They're looking to get strengthened. America, and there's the great movie out by Dinesh D'Souza, America, Where Would the World Be Without Her? Or Imagine a World Without Her, I think is the name of it. And it's a scary, scary imagination because we are a force for good in the world. I don't care what anybody tells you. I don't care what any liberal tells you. We're a force for good in the world. Israel is a force for good in the world. We've done a lot of good, ladies and gentlemen, and us being powerful, us being strong, us being solvent protects other nations. Our allies are strengthened by our strength. Our enemies are weakened by our strength. And it is imperative that we get back to being a real force in this world, a real force for good in the world. Now, tonight after the show, in a half an hour, approximately 37 minutes, you will be listening to Crab Nation. Now, Crab Nation is the anti-Carmine Confidential show. It is a liberal love fest, I guess, or, you know, it's Obama love fest. They'll be on at 3 o'clock. If you have anything negative to say, that might be the show you'd want to call into. Crab Nation, VOCNation.com at 3 Eastern. And I think that, you know, I've tuned into this show a couple times, and it's 3 Eastern. If you're on the left coast, it's noon. So it's 3 Eastern, noon Pacific. But they'll be on, and they'll be talking about how great of a leader the president is, and how he handled this Somalia situation. He's just going to wipe the floor with ISIS and all this other stuff. But he has no strategy yet. Well, Americans are being beheaded every day, Mr. President. You think it's time for a strategy, maybe? Is it time yet to develop a strategy? I mean, I said it before, I didn't think I'd ever see the day where Jimmy Carter looked like a strong leader. Never thought I'd see it. Flabbergasting that right now that's where we're at in this nation, to the point where Jimmy Carter looks strong. Consider that, because that's amazing. That's amazing. That's one of the weakest presidents in the history of the United States, if not the weakest. And most incompetent. And President Obama really, really gives him a run for his money. So, ladies and gentlemen, what we have now, again, to recap, is another American beheaded. And the president's number one concern, of course, to find those responsible for leaking nude celebrity pictures. The celebrity in chief hath spoken, ladies and gentlemen. So let your voices be heard. Take the Twitter, take the Facebook, tweet the president. Let him know what you think. I don't think he'll read them, but tweet them anyway. You never know. He might be paying attention on the golf course and get a little notification on his phone, and he'll check it out, and it'll be your comment telling him to get the hell off the golf course and come do something. I don't know, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know the answer. The only thing I do know about it is that we don't have the answer, and that's what scares me the most. Those of us who grew up during the Cold War, when we see what Russia's doing now, it scares us. Those of us who witnessed the Cold War, those of us who witnessed the Iran hostage crisis, when we see the beheadings of Americans, when we see ISIS on a rampage, and we're reminded of all those things. And that's why we're so angry. And that's why I'm the Angry Bald Dude of angrybalddude.com. And that's why you have a Tea Party now. Because we're tired of being lied to by both parties. So, with that, Mr. President, I pray for all of our sakes that you get on the ball. In the meantime, tune into Liberal Nonsense at 3 p.m. on VOCNation.com for Crab Nation. I want to thank you guys for joining the Angry Bald Dude, Carmine Sabia, here today for Carmine Confidential. Again, check me out on Twitter, at Carmine Sabia. That is at C-A-R-M-I-N-E, S as in Sam, A, B as in boy, I-A. Again, at C-A-R-M-I-N-E-S-A-B-I-A. Also, check me out on the web at angrybalddude.com and connect with me. Definitely tweet and post your opinions. Let your voice be heard. If we like them, we might read some of them on the air. And if we really don't like them and you're being really mean and sending threatening tweets, we'll almost definitely read those on the air. So, because I uncovered a lot of hate mail yesterday, I was going to read some of it to you guys today. But, of course, when there's breaking news, the time for fun stops and the time for actual reporting on the facts goes in. We don't have enough facts right now on the Sotloff situation. Stephen Sotloff beheaded. We will hopefully have more information later on. And hopefully Crab Nation in a half hour will have a little more information. And, of course, you'll be listening to liberals, but news is news. And it might be a good idea to check it out. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you again for listening to Carmine Confidential here on the VOC Nation. Take care, everybody.